Blog Talk Radio.
I've been doing some thinking lately, and I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple thing. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.
I acknowledge that you're in control. There's nothing too hard for you to handle. I believe you can do anything. Your word says so. No limits even come close to your dominion. Oh, oh, oh.
I don't have to see you move a mountain.
I don't need
to see you part the way.
Every day you keep on.
In conjunction with Past Generation Law Cinemix, Affected by Sight, hosted this evening by yours truly, Evangelist Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the district superintendent is the district superintendent, Pastor Wilder Sanders II. I mean to tell you, it is something that is really going on. Pastor Sanders, Superintendent Sanders, is resting on tonight, but I wanted to recap. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and I want to go back and just recap what happened over the last 3 weeks. We thank God for Apostle Bridget Outlaw, along with her 3 weeks in a row, January 21st, 28th, and February the 4th. And I tell you, we had a blessing, and a lot of the people that did come, they learned how to be able to write with grants. But before we get into that on tonight, I want to send a prayer out to my father. This morning at 3:30 a.m., he called me on the phone and was telling me he was having problems and he needed me to call the paramedics to come and take him to the hospital. And I went on, I jumped out the bed, went on ahead. I was trying to see what was going on with him. And if I sound like a little tired, I'm, you know, kind of tired because I'm, you know, real overdrained from that. But God is good. The avalanche did come and get him because I heard them. He doesn't live that far from where we live, so the ambulance was not able to take him to the regular hospital that he normally go to, but they had the hospital was on a bypass, means they were full, were not accepting any more patients, so they ended up taking him to another area hospital, not far, about the same proximity or so from where we live, but he was scheduled to be in ICU, and he had been in the ER for a long time, ever since they brought him in. So now he's downgraded to being in a regular room. Prayerfully, things will go right for him where he does not have to go to ICU, but we thank God that he didn't have to go to ICU, and praise the Lord will get his head together. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you have a parent that's an addict to alcohol, a lot of you all, I'm going to talk about that again probably in the upcoming Women's Day. It's a lot of stuff I want to deal with, but I want you to keep him in prayer because he's an addict, and addicts tend to do things that are not normal to us, but it's normal to them. So keep him in prayer that he would get his mind together and he would get saved, and the Lord would clean him up. Because I would hate to lose my daddy to alcohol and he not get saved. But let him get saved and let the Lord do what he want to do with his life. But pray for him. And for any of you all that have parents that are addicts, you can join in anytime. Call me or email me, drkatrinasanders@gmail.com. Let me know your story, how you've been feeling about it. I've watched all three of mine go through it, so I understand. But let's go on to the topic of tonight. Listen, the grant writing. You know this is tax season. Everybody got taxes. Everybody got taxes, zip taxes. If you've got taxes, individual, married, filing, joint, head of household, single, all of those good things. In the power of grant writing, Apostle Bridget Outlaw highly stressed the importance of having your business in order. For some reason, in the African American community, there is a problem. I don't know if we understand, do we comprehend, are we paying attention? We always want, we want to receive, 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 but never give. In the power of grant writing, she highly stressed about the importance that the pastors, the grant writing was not just restricted, it was not restricted at all. But I expected more pastors that want to know what to do and how to do because they are interested in learning how to do grant writing. First of all, a lot of pastors start off and the first thing they go and they get is EIN numbers, which is employee identification number. Those, the grant terminologies they learned, 81 page binder told you what a budget is, what a budget shows, what does a budget show, the consortium organization, what is a legal contract, what is competitive grant, what is a contracted services, what is cost reimbursement. See, those things they learned, Pastor Sanders and I, we sat in on a lot of the sessions, and leaders, when you start a church, don't go run and try to get an EIN number thinking that that's your freedom for everything else. There's a whole process that you need to go through in order to have that ministry legal within this world. And that's real talk. When you get the EIN number, the next thing you need to do is go to your Secretary of State and you need to register your name, the church name with your name on it, and register it to receive a state exempt letter with the numbers on it. She also talked about that. Now, once you get the EIN number and your state tax exempt, now you can go and fill out a booklet or go to the 1023EZ and apply for the 501c3. There are phases that you have to go through in order to receive your 501c3 and before you can move further into the direction of writing the grant. The problem with us is that we don't want to learn nothing and we don't want to pay to learn anything. Apostle Outlaw is certified by an organization, corporation called NeighborWork, the same corporation that trains my husband in different areas of what he does in his line of work. And to even go to that class costs you $5,000. There's no payment plan and there is no pay as you go, and there is no we can split them up in over 6 and 9 or 10 months. You gonna pay one time to learn how to write grants, but you gotta have all your ducks lined up. For some reason, in the African American community, we don't want ducks lined up. We want a turkey, we want a ham, we want a bull, we want a bird, we want one little duck, we want a cow, we want a hamster. We want what we want, and that is so selfish of black folks to even not invest the time into learning how to even get your church legal within the state, within the country, where you can be able to apply for grants, how to have more than one bank account for your church. If you got the prayer ministry and they raise the money, open an account for the prayer ministry. If you got the youth shindig, open up an account for the youth shindig. See, these are things you learn in learning how to get to learn how to write a grant. She also talked about how, what is a cover sheet? You know, what is a grant deadline? She even had her screen there to show you literally an example of a lot of corporations that have grants available, and there's a process that you go through when you do an initial intake. It's an intake form to learn how to do the grant. There were power words that were also talked about. She had a list of power words. She even gave a homework assignment where they can learn how to write the grant with power words, what the corporations can see what you're saying because you want X amount of dollars. Do you have this in line? Do you have that in line? Do you have this? What do you have in line? This class for 3 weeks, my husband and I got up out of our bed along with little Daniel. We got up out of our bed at 7 o'clock every Saturday morning for the last 3 weeks. And we opened up the church, and we sat there to learn as well. I already had taken the class about over a year ago. So I know that I'm always going to be continuing to learn more and more, because I know every year laws change by the Internal Revenue. So certain things changes. The form, how to even look at a 501c3 application. I just got through doing an application for a church, and they successfully, on the first time around, received their 501c3. Now they can go ahead and do whatever you need to do. Because what? We took time. I didn't charge them no house mortgage, and I didn't charge them no student loan to do it. And my thing is, when we become selfish as African Americans not to learn how to take care of our business for outreach programs and or church, then you don't care about God. All you care about is having money in your pocket. And that's why a lot of churches are in trouble. A lot of churches are in trouble. With the grant writing class, she showed them how to be able to determine how you're going to get your pay. It was in the grant by your volunteers that you have. See, these things here was informative. Informative. I was sharing with my professional tax accountant that has a degree in accounting as well as a certification from Internal Revenue. And I know a lot of people. Let me tell you all this. For those of you all who are so happy-go-lucky greedy and want more tax money, let me explain something to you. Let me help you out a little bit, because a lot of you all operate off of selfishness and greed, which is a sin. For those of you all who are saved, for those of you all who are not saved, I already know what you're going to do, and some of them have more values, and they don't want IRS run up their behind. I own my own business. I downsized my income for my cousins because I'm not in the state of California. But because the business is under my name in the state of California, I pay a lot of taxes. Now, understand this. When you are in school and you own your business, okay, I have my EIN number. I have my business, my name out there in California. So understand this. When I file my stuff and go into school, what happens is that I submit all of my forms. I have a thing called, it's a software called Business Box. I took that template and I copied and pasted to the other side, and I'm able to put all of my ducks in line. I have nothing out of order. So when I get ready to do my taxes every year, I send my school 1098 that proves I went to school. For those of you all who went to school, I don't care if you went to school for an adult continuing education course, whether it was 8 weeks course, whether it's 12 weeks, whether it was 16, 24, it don't matter. If you went to school and you paid some money or you received funding, they will give you what they call a 1098. On the 1098, it will have the school's name, the school's code number. It will have all the money that was put into your education. Even if you had to pay out of pocket, that's in there as well. A lot of folks go to tax preparers, and a lot of tax preparers are not professional accountants. My accountant and his father, they own their own firm, so to speak, and they are reachable 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You got a lot of offset my par that you can't find in my tax season. Once they get through, they're done with you. When May, April 16 hit, pure, you can't find them. Then you sit up and then turn around and go through your records. Oh, we found a glitch. Do you have a copy? Well, I got the five, so-and-so. No, so-and-so will disconnect their number, and you'll never find them again until next year if they come back. And my husband and I, for the last few weeks, we've been passing by a lot of side of houses on King Drive where people are putting signs in the windows in the car. Oh, get one child, $5,400. Get two kids, $6,200. It is a marketing scam to get you to come in there to get whatever, because guess what? Those are not professional tax consultants. They just went to a crash course, learned a little something. They can't charge you over what the law allows, so they have to tell you, well, you gonna get so-and-so. But you don't know that it costs money for them to sit up there and work with you with your taxes. Now, when I refer people, and I'm gonna tell you something, I'm gonna tell you the truth, because I'm a businesswoman. I don't have time for no foolishness. If I refer you to somebody, you don't waste my time, and you don't waste their time. Because I pay a lot of money every year to get my stuff done right. Ain't no hooking and crooking and slipping and sliding and slick wick talking crap. It's not that way. You got to learn how to take care of your business. If you go to school, produce evidence so it don't bite you in your butt. And that's the problem with us as African Americans. We want to be slick. I want more money. Well, I'm going to go over here and this person over here. I'm going to go over there. And you want to compare shopping. You ain't got time to compare no shopping. Because guess what you do? When you compare shopping, you leave your business, your social security number, your child and or children, your husband, if you got one. If you don't, well, okay. You leave all your business, somebody you ain't never met that could possibly use your stuff. Because you're greedy. I want more money. Greed is scared. For those who supposed to be taking advantage of the Holy Ghost, somebody going to try. Learn business. Learn to understand what it means. IRS is that I have a saying for them. They're irreconcilable revenue system. They don't wanna give you no money in the first doggone place. But when you have the opportunity to have certain things afforded to you, don't be greedy. Don't get greedy. Because when you get greedy, guess what happens? You screw up. Then you get audited. And then guess what Uncle Sam will do? He will go to your bank account, and it's called lean, L-E-A-N. And I'm not talking about 100% pure beef. I'm talking about he will go into your bank account and put a lien on your account, and he will get his money. He will find out where you work at, and he will take your check. That's how Internal Revenue works. They're not here, hook them aside, ta-ta-ta, boom, and all of that. He don't care about your speaking in tongues. He don't care about your feelings. When you piss off the irreconcilable revenue system, although it's internal revenue, and you understand now, but I put irreconcilable because he don't want to reconcile with you when you screw up. So when you're being greedy, guess what happens? You lose more. That's what greed gets you. And I know I hate literally referring anybody to my accountant, because I know if you go in there, you act a fool, you make me look like an ignoramus person, and you don't trust my credibility. One thing I don't like is nobody to mess with the folk that I've been doing business with for decades. Because that makes me know that you're trifling and you ain't right and you ain't no good. Hello, love you much, but you own something. So when you're learning about internal revenue, it is to your advantage to learn about how things are to be done in order when you are doing business. In order for you to receive a grant, you need to have your papers lined up. I always hear preachers, I want over your shoulder strap. Pop. Yeah, doc. Yeah, bishop. Yeah. And y'all don't want to go to no school. You don't want to learn nothing. You don't want to invest in nothing. But it amazes me. Y'all will go to all the convictions and convocations. Y'all will go to all these workshops and women meetings and conferences. You'll pay all that money to go hear what? To hear what? You pay our folks to prophesy to you, but what are you learning when you receive the prophecy? Nothing. You wasting time. You need to invest into your mind and not your behind. That's how you become Calamity Jane. Because everything that you get is always calamity. It's, oh, I got problems. Well, because you don't invest. You don't want to pay tithes and offering and tithes and offering in the church. Give God what's due to him so you can be blessed. You don't want to do that. That's too much work. That's too much work. But when you're dealing with grant writing, you need to educate yourself so that you can get the right information. She also talks about what is direct cost? What is a funding agency? What is the funding criteria? What is that? What is a final report? What are forms 990, forms 990 PF? She put it all together. What are goals? See, she broke it all the way down because it's in the grant when you're trying to file for this grant. If you have all of your paperwork in order, you would know how to do this thing step by step. It's really easy, to be honest. What are in-kind donations? What is matching funds? What is considered as a need statement? What is a non-competitive grant? What are measurable objectives? What is a postmark date? What is a problem statement? What does project evaluation mean? What is a proposal or a proposal narrative? What is a RFP? What is a RFA? Request for proposal or announcement. They are generated by an agency who is interested in seeking proposals or applications that will accomplish the specific purposes outlined in the request guidelines. What is seed money? What is solicited proposal? What is a subcontract? What are unsolicited proposals? Then she went into the 17 types of grants. See, a lot of you leaders, oh, I'm a pastor, I'm a chief, I'm the bishop, I'm the superintendent, I'm the whatever, whatever your denomination, the apostolic, whatever. I don't care what you are. The thing about it is that you want to be all of this. But you don't want to sit down long enough to learn how to do it. So in case you get stupid and somebody that you put in charge screw you up, the secretary get mad at you because you ain't making no advance to her no more, and she pissed you off. Now you can sit there looking like a dummy because, well, I had somebody, but, you know, there was it was complicated. No, it wasn't complicated. You didn't want to learn yourself. What is that called? Selfishness and laziness. But when it's time for you to preach, you got everything lined up. You want to be quiet. You want to go locked up in your room. You want to go into a little zone. And then you want to sit up there and have five or six Bibles out and the reference the story and everything else. You got all this laptop, tablet. You got all this out there to preach the word. But when it comes to learning how to do grants in your church, oh, I don't know. I don't understand that. But then you complain about the Caucasian man. Well, you know what? While y'all complaining and you got all your Bibles in front of you, that Caucasian man is out there getting $2 million grants while you still sitting there trying to figure out how to get a 501c3. I'm just sorry. Laziness. I don't understand it. Pastors are less lazy. I just never seen so many African-American pastors that are lazy and you're trifling because you want everybody else to do it for you, but you should learn how to do it. That way you got experience. I worked for a shelter. Lady friend of mine, she gone on to be with the Lord. She died. Her brother didn't have nothing in order. I want to punch his face out and drag him out of there and let him get hit by a choo-choo train because he come in there looking for money. That's what he came in there for. He didn't care about the shelter. He wanted money and wanted top agencies, federal shelter program services was funding that man over $20,000 every 2 weeks to pay employees and bills. That man wouldn't even take the name of the business out of his sister's name. They was getting ready to padlock it. They was getting ready to padlock it. I went in and called the people, told them that the former owner died and the brother didn't know what to do because I talked to them. I talked them down. They wiped the slate clean and slammed his name on the building. So that way nothing could be, because they literally had two different neighbors. They were half brother, way brother and sister. But she left her business to a total imbecile because he worried about going out of town preaching. Oh, yeah, I'll annoy you. I'm a prophet. Go get me a big old order rip tip. That's all they worry about is eating. They don't care about taking care of business. Then when you got to pay somebody, you get an attitude. When you get a lawyer, you want the lawyer to do something for you for a penny. Are you serious? Do you know how much paperwork costs for lawyers to go out? They have some office stores downtown. I know for a fact because I used to work at a law firm. And when I used to have to go down in the right by City Hall, there was a specialty store, office specialty store. And they already typed up court documents where you wouldn't have to type it up, because the old school, the secretary, legal secretaries had to type up court documents for the petitioner and the respondent. So when I would go in there to get stacks of the paper, what I would do, I would literally get the top sheet and certain amendments and clauses depending on the type of petition you're filing. They had them singled out. So that one paper then was $1. All the rest of them was 50 cents, 75 cents, 85 cents. So I would buy enough, take it back to my office, make thousands of copies to have, because the secretaries, the legal secretaries, run around there making $17,000, $18,000 a year, trying to be cute, trying to marry a partner, trying to marry a partner and a holder and a board of directors. They're trying to go to the lawyer, all that stuff. They paid for our cab going, you know, home. We stayed late. But the thing about it, the secretaries, they would mess up the form. So they started buying from a specialty store, and I brought it back to the office and made thousands of copies and made sure it was laid up in the mail room so that way it can happen. That's how they did it. So it costs money, because those attorneys have to look at the laws of those particular cases that are being filed, whether it's family court, whether it's divorce court, whether you're dealing with contracts. They have to look at the law in order to make sense of what they're dealing with, so they won't look like a jackass when they're before the judge. That's technically what they would do. We still had to do a lot of the closing stuff and didn't leave work till almost 12 midnight. We got paid, but we worked late. So the thing about it is that we had to learn the law. Then pastors, why are you slowful and don't want to learn the law? People, why don't you want to learn the law when it comes to your IRS? The IRS has rules. If you don't want to follow it, then don't file no taxes. But guess what's going to happen? Every time you get a W-2 form from your job and you don't file, don't you know it's not going to be no more money doubled in? See, that's the thing about it. Everybody I like to compare prices. No, stop doing the Kmart, Walmart comparison. When you're dealing with Internal Revenue, you get you a certified accountant that's been in business for years. They have a degree as an accountant as well as a certified that is licensed with the state of Illinois or whatever your state you're in. Stop trying to, young people, you out in your 20s, y'all don't know nothing. Y'all are so ignorant because you don't want to listen. It's either your way. Y'all don't want nobody to tell you nothing because you think you know it all. No, you don't. And that's why I end up screwing up in your life. And, oh, I didn't know it. You don't want to listen. Well, I'm going to close tonight. And I prayerfully hope that you all got something, a little bit out of it. If you got more information, you need more information, email me at drkatrinasanders@gmail.com. I'm not sure when I'll do the session again. I'm letting the Lord lead me this time. But you all, from this point on, handle your business or your business will handle you. Be blessed.
I've been doing some thinking lately, and I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple thing. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.
I acknowledge that you're in control. There's nothing to handle. I believe you can do anything. Your word says so. No limits even come close to your dominion. Oh, oh, oh.
I don't have to see you move a mountain.
I don't need
to see you part the way.
Every day you keep on.
I knew.